Wonderful. Praise God. Well, I've got a message today that I really believe is going to help many people. How many of you, somewhere in the inside, some of you it'll be burning. Others of you it'll be kind of hidden, you know, like something under a bed, you know, that you haven't seen for a while. But how many of you, there is some kind of dream, some kind of sense on the inside of you of something great that God wants you to do with your life? Just lift up your hand high and wave at me if that's you. You know, and if you haven't got your hand held high, you see, I just want to say something to you. God wants you to understand whose image you're made in. Being made in the image of God means that the greatest lives on the inside of us and that we are destined for nothing less than greatness. God wants each one of us to reach that place where we sense and we feel, oh my goodness, I am flowing in the fullness of the call of God on my life. You know, it was such a delight. I can't see her right now, but chatting at our Healed for Life Day yesterday, chatting to a lady who was just saying that years ago she was trained, and I still can't remember what they're called, but a pied-à-terre, people who do feet. And there you are, podiatrist. Yeah, Yvonne was saying, and how she hadn't done it for years. And then somebody asked her, look, would you look at my mum's feet? Now, most of us would go, ugh. Isn't that right? And she starts to do the feet and thinks, oh, my goodness, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's, you know, there's going to be loads more God's got for her to do. But she has discovered something that, do you know what? She will be changing the lives of old people in particular. Because they suffer so much from corns and so many things going horribly wrong. You know, it's a funny example to use, but there's something that happens on the inside when we start to step into what we're supposed to be doing. There was a young man who came to Healed for Life in America 2 weeks ago, and he has been blown away. And he is someone that for many years was this close to going professional in a major US sport and then injured himself. And he said, I've never believed in anything my whole life like I believe in this. And it's like you could tell he's stepping into destiny. And something goes off on the inside of us. And the dream motivates. How many of you have got a dream that really, really motivates you? Wave at me if you have. There's something on the inside that you know that one day you could do. And the thought of doing that creates excitement. It motivates. Is that right? You can relate to what I'm saying. And if you haven't got that yet, that's what you were created for. To discover your unique purpose and to fulfill it. Well, I want to talk about one of my favorite Bible characters today, Joseph. And you see, the thing about Joseph is from a very young age, destiny was activated on the inside of him. He had this amazing dream, you know, and the dream, he didn't fully understand it, but he just knew, I'm going somewhere. He just knew, you know what, the fields I'm looking at right now and my life right now, this isn't it. How many of you know this isn't it? Yeah, and Joseph had that on the inside of him. There was something burning and there was something that he needed to do. And you see, I believe that the life of Joseph is we can unpack his life, and it's what I've done in my book, my new book, Doorway to Your Destiny. But you can unpack his life and see a process that you and I can go through to get us ready for our destiny. Because you see, the dream means there's something God wants to do through you. But then there's got to be this journey of transformation so that we're ready to do what God's called us to do. That 17-year-old young whippersnapper called Joseph, who had some dreams, was not ready to be a servant leader yet. And, you know, God wants to do something in you and I to get us to that place where we are able to possess the promises of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, he wants to do a work. And I want us to look at one particular area that I believe is something that every single one of us needs to conquer in order to really be ready to fulfill our mandate. You know, you've heard me say many times before and repeat what I heard Joyce Meyer say, which is that in her view, 90% of the body of Christ never fulfill their destiny. And so our job is to do what it takes to be part of that 10% that do. I don't want God's destiny for my life to go to the grave or even to be raptured. Because once I'm in heaven, I can't fulfill my earthly destiny. Are you hearing me? So you see, we need to do what it takes to get ready for our destiny. And I just want to recap for a moment about Joseph. Because we're going to look at some of what he went through, but then some of his reactions. And I just want to remind you his life. So, you know, he's having a fairly okay life until age 17. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Mum dies. You know, brothers don't like him, although he has no clue about that. But then when he hits 17, everything goes horribly wrong. And he ends up a servant, a slave rather. A slave in someone else's house, in a nation he doesn't know, a language being spoken around him that he doesn't understand, far away from family. He basically lost all his family. He lost his father's love. He lost that sense of how his life was going to turn out. And for 13 years went through terrible trials. But what I want you to learn is he went through all of that at the hands of his brothers. You know, people have done stuff to me. But I don't think anyone has ever done anything like what they did to Joseph. What am I saying? You see, their actions caused him. You know, sometimes people's actions contribute to what we've gone through. But his actions caused him to be a slave and then a prisoner for 13 years. Okay, 13 years as a result of how they treated him. Now I want us just to fast forward to 20 years after they did that. In fact, yeah, 20 years after they did that. Joseph is now reunited with his brothers. He sees them for the first time. And I just want you to hear how he treated them. So he's reintroducing himself to his brothers. And they're just stunned at first. You know, he looks different. They didn't recognize him. You know, he might be wearing some sort of head gear. We don't know, but they didn't even recognize him. He's speaking Egyptian. He's learned the language. He had to. For survival. And then he's meeting them for the very first time after many years. And he's looking at these people, at his brothers. And the first thing he says is, come close to me. Because they're just standing in shock. And then they come close. And I want to read you a couple of the verses. So he says, please come near to me in Genesis 45. Then he says, listen, straight away. Say straight away. This is the moment, you know, they're being reunited. He says, don't be angry with yourselves. The first thing he's saying is, I don't want you to feel bad. Are you listening to this? 13 years of suffering because of them. And the first thing he says is, I don't want you to be angry with yourselves. And in chapter 45, verse 15 of Genesis, it says, he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. He kissed them all and wept over them. these people, I want you to think maybe of the person who's made your life the most hell. The person who's done the worst things ever. And I want you now to imagine seeing them for the first time after years. And now think of how Joseph reacted. Are you getting where I'm going? This man is standing with a Mary. Can I borrow you? He sees his brothers. And his heart is filled with love. He's like, Judah, Levi, oh my goodness, it's really you. And he just hugs them. They're probably going, what's happening? Yeah. And he wraps his arms around them. And he's just weeping and weeping, embracing and hugging the very people who caused him to go through the darkest, most painful years of his life. Are you getting this? Thanks, Mary. So my question is, how on earth could he do that? And we're going to talk about some things linked to forgiveness this morning. But you see, let me tell you what forgiveness alone does. Mary, please, if I can borrow you again. This is really important you get this. You see, forgiveness alone. If Joseph had just forgiven his brothers, and he'd forgiven them completely, he'd let go. Let me tell you some of the things he'd be feeling. He'd be feeling, you know, I forgive you, but I don't want to be too close. You know what, I've let it all go. But you know what, like, let me just give you the money, give you food, because I've forgiven you. I'm not holding it against you anymore. But please, go somewhere else. Because just the very sight of Reuben's face, the very sight of Judah's face, would have just hurt. Am I telling the truth? The very thought of seeing these men, it would have been this constant reminder of those days that he just had to forget. Have you ever been there? Where you think, do you know what? I've forgiven. I've let go. But just don't make me keep looking back at those memories. Are you with me? But he doesn't. You see, there were two things going on in Joseph's heart. He had forgiven. Absolutely. It's impossible to behave the way this man did without being forgiven. But you see, something else had happened in his heart. He had been completely healed. This man had been completely healed of all the pain. You know, somewhere during slavery and in the early years of prison, that man learned how to pour out his heart like water before the face of the Lord. He learned how to do what King David did and how to get into God's presence and say, God, if anyone else had done it, it would have been bad enough, but I trusted them. And even Benjamin, my little brother, blood, you know, the only one who's 100% blood brother, even he didn't stand up for me. He got into the presence of God and he poured out his heart and God did a deep work of healing in Joseph. How do I know? I know that he was healed by prison. Let me tell you how I know that. Do you remember the butler and the baker? Right? You see, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth. Right, you see, he's talking to the butler and the baker. And you know, he wants them to know, look, I'm not some terrible rapist. If you were innocent of rape and convicted of it, you'd probably want people to know who you're trying to minister to. He's trying to minister to these guys. But let me tell you all he says to them. He says, I was stolen away. I was stolen away from my land and I've done nothing wrong. That's all that's left. Are you hearing me? Oh, yeah, it wasn't nice. But that's all that was left. And we're going to come back to that. But you see, Joseph hadn't just forgiven. he was healed. I really want to encourage you. You know, if you have any memories that still make you sad, if there are certain people and just seeing them still causes something on the inside, it is the surest sign that you're still on a healing journey or that you need to start one. And don't stop until all the pain's gone. Say all. That's God's plan and purpose, for all the pain to go. And then you can see those brothers. You can see that aunt who cut you to pieces in front of the whole family. You can see that, you know, that boss, you might not hug your boss, but who tried to have you demolished. You can see those people who tried to ruin your life. And you can have nothing but tenderness towards them. Thank you, Mary. But I want to get back to, but how did he do that? How did he forgive these people completely from the heart? How did he get to that place of having so much freedom when he'd gone through so much terrible circumstances? And I want to look at a couple of things. And I just want to read from Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. And I'm going to read verses 15 to 21. And I might read it quickly and just jump around. Now, this is... Now, Joseph, his brothers, everyone's been living in Egypt, in Goshen, for a long time now. Their dad dies, Jacob dies. And after Joseph's dad dies, his brothers think, oh dear, maybe Joseph was only good to us for the sake of our father. Maybe now it's all going to come out. And they hatch a plan to basically make it easy for themselves. So, verse 15 of chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and maybe actually repay us for all the evil which he did to him. And so they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, go and say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And his brothers fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, to, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That word actually in the Hebrew says, and spoke to their hearts. But I want to look at verse 19. I'm looking at how did Joseph do that? And I've called this message Crossroads to Your Destiny. This is the crossroads. I really believe with all my heart that this is a major crossroads for every single one of us. And Joseph says there, don't be afraid, for am I in the place of God? If you get this today, suddenly I believe that forgiveness will become so much more easy. Forgiveness can become much more automatic in a lifestyle. You see, Joseph basically is saying to them, how can I hold this against you? Because I'm not God. What is God? You see, the Bible says that God is judge. Are you hearing me? Turn to your neighbor and say, God is the judge. Joseph is basically standing in front of his brothers and saying, do you know what? I'm the same as you. I'm also a servant of the Most High. And I have no right to judge, number one. But number two, I don't want to judge. You can hear that in his attitude, He knew he had no right, but he discovered the incredible inner peace of mercy.
Right.
Do you know, there is something that happens on the inside. You know, even Jesus said, "Who made me judge over you?" Even Jesus said, "I judge no one." You see, it's impossible for me to hold unforgiveness unless I'm judging. It's impossible for me to hold a grudge against someone else unless I am judging them to be guilty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, unless I am sitting in that place, imagine a throne for a judge with the white wig on, and sitting there, when I am holding a grudge against you, it's because I am setting myself in that place where I feel I have the right to evaluate you. And Joseph says, "You know what? Judgment is up here. I'm climbing down because I'm scared of that place because I'm not God." I want you to say something really strongly together, and this is going to sound strange, but it's really helpful. I want you just to say, "I am not God.
I am not God.
You are God.
You are God.
And I am your child.
I am not God.
You see, God has the right to judge.
Yeah.
And you see, the great thing about God is merciful. And you see, I'm so glad that God is merciful. Anyone else? Because you see, I don't know about you, but I mess up regularly. I make mistakes all the time. But as a result of the mercy of God, I can fall into his arms and say, "God, I did it again. But will you forgive me?" Are you hearing me? You know, maybe Joseph reached that place in prison or in slavery. Maybe while he was a servant and being forced to behave like a nobody, rather than a very special somebody who was the most wonderful son of all the other sons, he's being forced to behave like a slave. Maybe something went on the inside of him and he realized, "Oh my God, oh my goodness, my sin is the one I'm seeing. You know, I was the one who's shouting about my dreams. God, you shared the dreams. You didn't tell me to share the dreams." Who knows what happened in those weeks, months, years? But what we do know is something extraordinary was happening in Joseph's heart. Something amazing was going on the inside of him. But you see, he made this decision. "I have no right to judge." You know, most of you know that our first daughter, my husband and I, we lost our first daughter in the year 2000. And the day she died at 7:45 in the morning, something like that. And anyway, we were driving home after that. We've got her child seat in the back of the car and her doll that my husband had brought to hospital in faith that she was going to come through. And we're just driving home in a daze. We couldn't yet even countenance what had just happened. And we're driving home, and my husband's one of the best drivers I know, but he's driving in the fast lane at about 50 miles an hour, in a daze. And this car comes flying up behind us. And beep, 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 beep. I mean, the most extraordinary outburst of road rage. And so we just moved our way from the fast lane into the slow lane. But I learned something that day. You see, that driver will have been thinking, you know, maybe that driver really had to get somewhere very fast. You know, maybe that driver was angry. But you just never know what's going on in someone else's life. You don't know what they've just gone through. You know, they did some research I used to work for the Prince's Trust, and they did some research among 10 to 18-year-old offenders, people who had committed violent or sexual crimes. And 95% of them had gone through violent or sexual crimes themselves. You know, when I stand in that place of judgment, no matter what I've gone through myself, I'm basically, if you imagine down here is where the mercy of God is flowing. It's where God is saying, do you know what? Although the righteous may fall seven times, I'm here to pull you back up. The mercy is that place where we can say, that was yesterday. Today's a new day. And God is bigger than the things that are bigger than me. That's the mercy of God, which is fresh every morning. But you see, if I'm instead saying, I don't want mercy for that person. What they did to me was terrible. They should never be forgiven. They ruined my life. We're climbing out from mercy into this high place of judgment. Are you hearing me? You see, if we can just reach that place where we suddenly understand, and this is how God helped me. He said, Joe, until you have lived their life and walked in their shoes, you don't know that you would have done it any differently. You don't know that you would not be exactly the way they are. And you know, sometimes it is those major things. But you see, I believe that we can see from looking at the heart and life of Joseph that he had developed a lifestyle. Say lifestyle. A lifestyle of living in mercy and forgiveness. His heart was too tender. Now, let me tell you something else about Joseph. He was a natural-born leader. Yeah? I mean, by his teenage years, he knew his destiny. He was a natural-born leader. I want to just read a little excerpt. You see, one of the things the enemy tries to do is to give us excuses for our behavior. He wants me to have every excuse to stay the way I am. And so he's going to give me lots of great reasons. And they'll seem really good. And one of the things, how many of you here, if you're really honest, you know that you have leadership in you. It's just natural to you. Just put your hand up if you know leadership. Wave at me. There's lots more than that. Yes. Right. Let me tell you one thing about people like you and me. Right. You see, so there are certain things that we give different labels to. Are you hearing me? And how many of you have heard of a type A personality? How many? Yeah, right. So there's this. Someone did some research, which was actually, by the way, about heart disease, I believe, when they were doing the type A, type B. Is that correct, Remy? You're nodding. Yeah. When I researched it, it was about propensity to high blood pressure, to stress, and to heart disease. And type A personalities wasn't about leadership at the beginning. It was about people who were setting themselves up in the wrong direction. But let me read just from my book. I just want to read this very quickly. It's been suggested that people either have a type A or type B personality. Now, listen to this. They say type A people are ambitious, highly organized, truthful, impatient, always trying to help others. They take on more than they can handle, want others to get to the point, are proactive, obsessed with time management, their own and others. They are often high achievers who multitask. They push themselves with deadlines and dislike both delays and ambivalence. Now, although I could not identify with all of that description of a type A personality, I could see enough of myself in that picture to make me believe it was me. As a result, expressing intolerance or frustration was part of my psychology and therefore acceptable. Being abrupt or harsh from time to time, although undesirable, was understandable. Until God started to show me. You see, any time I am making a judgmental assessment of someone else's actions, why are they always late? Why is no one on time? Oh my goodness, you know, just make your mind up, please. I've not got all day. I know type A people are kind of hearing all these. And you might be type B, but you'll have your own version. Because judgment is not a personality issue. It's elusive. In the car, what is wrong with all these drivers? I heard someone say, oh, no, I'm not judgmental. It's only in the car. Driving along, that stupid woman, what is she doing in that lane? Oh, my goodness, she can't drive. And then we make a mistake and go, oh, whoops. Sorry, Lord. Thank you for your protection. And then we carry on driving. We go, oh, look at this stupid man. Where did he learn to drive? And then suddenly, you know, we break a bit strongly. And we turn to the passenger and go, whoops, sorry, are you okay? We give out judgment, but we want mercy. You see, any time I'm frustrated with someone else, it's because I've made a judgment about them that they're not meeting my standards. Ouch. Any time I'm impatient with somebody else, it's because I feel they're not delivering within my desired time frame. You see, and what God started to show me is that judgment and impatience, but particularly judgment and harshness, go hand in hand. When I'm being harsh, it's because I've made a judgment. Mercy and tenderness go together. You see, I believe today that if we can get a revelation of the fact that not only have I got no right to judge anyone else, they didn't get back to my email on time. They aren't meeting. They're not doing what they said they would do. You see, we can deal with all these things in life, but without judgment. It would be really great if you'd get, you know that email, did you get it? I would love to hear your thoughts. I really value your opinion. Rather than just that lash out. And it's amazing the peace that maintains on the inside. You see, Joseph came down from that place. He not only had the opportunity, but he had the position of privilege and the power to inflict some pain on those men. But instead, he said, I am not God. I am not God. I don't know, Judah, how I'd have felt if you'd been favored. You know what? I don't know how I would have coped if I was the one that Dad never noticed. I don't know how I would have reacted if I'd lived your life. He climbed down. And then forgiveness becomes a lot easier. Can you hear that? When I'm no longer your judge, then forgiveness, you see, it's a free gift. And so God's already given that gift to me. I'm just passing it on. I'm just sharing what I've already received. And you know the amazing thing? You know, what was Joseph's destiny? His destiny was to, his primary purpose, as opposed to his secondary. His primary purpose was to save his family from famine. His primary purpose, I believe, was, if you put it in order, was to save Judah and the rest of his brothers. What's Judah carrying? He's carrying a seed of the Messiah. He's carrying the promise of the King of Kings. Joseph's entire destiny was wrapped up in bringing salvation to the very family that tried to destroy him. What's your destiny? Wow. You see, God has divine plans to enable us to fulfill our purpose. Well, God had some transport set up. How was God going to get Joseph to the right location? He had some transport ready for Joseph to move him from where they were, Israel, and move them over to Egypt, where he had some work to do. You see, I'm not saying that God's the one who orchestrates the things we go through. Are you hearing me? I'm not saying that God wanted Joseph to be beaten and kicked and bruised and thrown into a pit. But what I am saying is that God had some divine transport, and he was taken by some slave traders right to that place where he was going to come face to face with purpose. You see, I don't know what you've gone through, whether it's in the work context, constantly being undermined or lied about or kept down, or whether it's in family or any other sphere, but I do know that God has this amazing way of turning our captivity. Job's story changed when he prayed for the friends that literally added insult to every injury he had experienced. Job's story turned around when he released forgiveness through blessing the people who had kicked him when he was down. I want to ask you to rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, that passage I read shows Joseph in that place in chapter 50, ministering healing of the heart to the very people who'd nearly destroyed his life. He's in that place, bringing love and kindness and tenderness, mercy, goodness to the very people that he was destined to protect and save. And you know what? Tenderness, kindness, love, it feels so good. You can drive to work frustrated with everyone else on the road, or you can drive to work with this peace on the inside. Just shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord. I just want you to talk to the Lord right now. If you know that you've been holding any level of unforgiveness, any sense of indignation, frustration, anger, a grudge against anyone, right now, I just want you to make that choice and just say to the Lord, Father, I'm so sorry for thinking I was God. I'm so sorry, Lord, for sitting in the judgment seat that isn't even mine to sit in. And right now, just talk to the Lord and just say, God, I climb down from judgment. And if God is ministering to you right now, just lift your hands high. And as you lift them up, just lift both hands high in his presence. And as you lift them up, just say, I release them. I give them to you. I give them to you, Lord God. I let go. I hand over. Father, have your way. Have your way. I release them to you in the name of Jesus. And if you know you're still carrying pain, any pain, I want to encourage you to stay on your healing journey. I want to encourage you to come to one of our, come to Healed for Life, come to the encounters, get this new book, Doorway to Your Destiny. That's not just a healing journey, but just do what you need to do to stay on your journey to healing. And don't get off until you reach your destination. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you that we stand before you as those who have received mercy. So, Lord God, we choose mercy. We choose mercy. Why don't you just say that out now? I choose mercy. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for Jesus.